I ultimately got from Newfoundland, was sent to officers training school in Brockville, Ontario, Canada.
How did you wind up getting chosen for that?
That's an interesting story. I'm glad she asked. Amongst my other duties, the CO of my artillery battery came out one day and said, can anyone here run a typewriter? And I said, yes, I can run a typewriter. He says, why? What do you want? He said, we need somebody to work on the payroll in addition to other things. Why don't you come in and do the payroll for us in between your other duties? And it pays an extra 25 cents a day. This is really something.
Were you still a
sergeant?
A sergeant. Oh, yeah. You're a sergeant now.
I was a sergeant, yeah. So I went into the orderly room twice a month or whatever the pay frequency was. And these huge, long typewriters, I remember. And the only training I got was don't make any mistakes. And we don't allow erasures on the pay sheets and so forth. So anyway, I typed up the payroll. Then I took it to the Army headquarters in St. John's and traded them my payroll paper for the bags of money that they gave us. And then the company commander and I would start to go around these various anti-aircraft outposts in the four-wheel drive vehicles, because remember, it's winter, very mountainous, slippery roads, and pay the men. That was quite an experience. They were always glad to see us come. One time, in the process of paying the men, we seemed to be short about $39 when we got back to the base. $39 was the monthly pay of a Canadian Army private at the time, or perhaps it was $33. I probably stretched that. I think it was $33. And so all we could figure out was that when we were calling names, and somebody hung around for the second name and picked up that man's pay too. So we pulled a bluff on them. We said that we knew who had picked up double pay, but we wouldn't say anything if the money was returned to the orderly room in an envelope, no questions asked, the next day. And you know, it worked. We got that money back. That was a lot of money in those days. I think they would have taken it out of my pocket.
That's a whole month's pay.
Yeah, it's a whole month's pay. And we did get it back, so nothing happened there. I noticed the orders, being in the orderly room part of the month, I would see the orders coming through from brigade headquarters, and they were frequently asking the company commanders and battalion commanders to keep their eyes open for promising young men, as it was put, who would make, were officer material, I guess is the way they worded it. And so when that material went through and I saw the men that the CO was picking, one day I went into them and I said I suggested that I would like to go to officer's training school too. He asked me why I thought I would make a good officer, and I said, well, from looking at the guys you've picked, I think I would do as good as they would. And he said, he just kind of laughed and says, well, I think you probably would too. So he put me on the next list. So it was just a simple matter of asking to go.
And he said, how old were you then?
I probably would have been 19, you know, about 19. So we went back to one incident I probably should mention there. It wasn't a very happy one for me in a way, but I took a leave one time, about a 30-day leave back to Ottawa, Canada, where my brother was civilian director of Army Public Relations. And when I came back, him being a good newspaper man, a typical newspaper man, he started questioning me. He wanted material for a story he was writing in the local newspaper. And he was asking me about Newfoundland. And unfortunately, I didn't stop to think too much that this was going to appear on the front page of the local paper. But he was asking me about the conditions and everything, and they were pretty primitive. Now, I hasten to add that the people were very good in that, but they're very sensitive, very proud, but also very poor. And the sewage system in St. John's at that time, for example, consisted of driving two-wheel horse carts around late at night with actually torches on them, I suppose, to keep off flies and so forth, insects. And people would put their sewage out in buckets at the side of the street, and this guy would go on emptying it into these carts. Well, you can imagine, we had lots of jokes to tell about this sort of a night milk run or whatever it was with these carts. Well, I mentioned that in the newspaper story, plus some other things, and they have a quaint way of speaking, which I referred to, very quaint, old-fashioned Irish way of speaking. Something like, you know, some of their expressions, as I recall, were, come where, if they wanted you to wait up for them, they'd say, come where you're to, kind of stand where you're to till I come where you're at. Everything seemed to be backwards to us. We poked a little bit of fun at that. But anyway, when I got back from this leave, here the local Newfoundland papers had picked this up and said that Sergeant Miller had gone back home and said nasty things about the people, poked fun at the local people. Well, that's all I needed.